Today, I share with you some thoughts which are generated from the gospel reading. Some words from the gospel reading according to St. John. Jesus said, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Today in the church's calendar is the beginning of Passion Tide, the 2-week period leading to Easter. And today, we also give thanks for the historic apology by His Holiness Pope Francis, an important step toward reconciliation with our indigenous peoples. Over this Lenten season, we've been reflecting on Christian disciplines and what do they mean. And it's generally accepted that the 3 critical Christian disciplines associated with Lent are prayer, fasting or self-denial, and the giving of alms, generosity. And today we are presented with the invitation to practice radical generosity. There's a Bible story about a woman and a Jesus and some perfume. If you were to read the Gospels, and this story is in, I think, all of the Gospels, actually, we probably don't quite remember who the woman was, or when in Jesus' ministry she went to him, or what kind of perfume she brought. And why would she anoint Jesus with perfume? But based on the generally accepted description of the ministry of Jesus, the anointing happened sometime after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but before the crucifixion. And there are various versions of this episode in the Gospels. In today's version, however, from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, we learn that the woman's name is Mary, sister to Martha and Lazarus, Mary whom Jesus loved and whose brother had been raised from the dead by Christ. Mary's desire could be perceived as a waste of this expensive perfume, but Mary chose to honor Christ with her costly, precious gift. How do we choose to practice radical generosity in honoring Christ? The gospel reading takes us to 6 days before the Passover, and John tells us that Jesus is the guest of honor at the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. It is believed from other sources in Scripture that Jesus was a family friend, and we can also speculate that this dinner party was one way for the family to show its gratitude to our Lord for his love, for his generosity, and for his compassion towards the family, especially as he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes, my friends, this might have been their way to honor and to thank a faithful friend. We learn that Martha served the dinner, and her sister Mary anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. But it was at this point that Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, expressed concern that the money spent on the expensive perfume could be used to feed the poor. Logical, isn't it? However, Jesus had other ideas. Jesus confronted Judas and encouraged Mary to keep the rest of the perfume for the day of his burial. Biblical scholars have suggested that Jesus was promising that Mary would be there to anoint him again on the day of his crucifixion. From the reading this morning, we do not know much about the role of Lazarus beyond his presence at the table with Jesus. But we can glean some ideas about how Martha and Mary could be perceived by the reader. First of all, Martha keeps a low profile and serves the meal. And I'm sure that we know many persons in the church and elsewhere in humble service. A low profile, just doing what we need to do. Mary, however, was at the center of it all. She anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume, which filled the house with its fragrance. How can one not notice? Martha takes care of the essential need to provide food and hospitality to others. Mary comes with a gift which costs a year's wages. Martha serves others with the meal, but Mary's complete attention is on Jesus. But I pose this question to you. Does it really matter? Does it really matter how we serve? Does it really matter that there are different ways of showing generous hospitality to others? Does it really matter that generous hospitality is carried out in our own way and based on our own interest and our abilities? Because we too have different ways of serving Christ and serving each other. But all types, all kinds of Christian service are worthwhile. It has been suggested that the Eucharist has some parallels with the banquet described in today's gospel, where God's presence is evident. The feeding, just as the guests in today's gospel were fed, we are also fed to the word and sacrament at the Eucharist. And today we are experiencing that. Anointing. Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. And Christian worship traditions include the sacrament of holy anointing. And how could we overlook the offering? Just as Mary, Martha, and others generously offered their gifts to honor Christ, we too generously offer our gifts and ourselves to honor God and to contribute to the work of the church. So how do we respond to the invitation to be more generous in sharing God's gifts with which we have been blessed? How can we spend a year's wages, the cost of the perfume used for the anointing, to the glory of God? Now, I'm not asking you today, anyway, to donate a year's wages to the church. But think about that. What would that look like? What does our generosity look like? Generosity is expressed in different ways. Martha gave her time, her skill, and her care in serving the meal. And perhaps she provided other resources to purchase the food items to prepare the meal, to ensure that everyone was fed. And we know that Mary showed her generosity by using a costly perfume to anoint the feet of Jesus. However, we must be careful not to make judgments on the relative importance or the value of the gifts that people share in gratitude to God and to serve each other. And we should also be careful to have the right motive for our generosity. We know that when Judas questioned the lavish anointing of the feet of Jesus, the author suggested this, and I quote from verse 6 of the reading for today. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. My friends, let us have the right motive for our generosity. We know that in our neighborhoods, and perhaps among our family and friends, there are people in dire need of the basics, like food, like shelter. And I would imagine that people who are serving on the front line know how difficult it is to keep up with the growing demands in a society where it appears that there's a widening gap between those who have in excess and those who are in need. Granted, some of us may be going through financial uncertainty at this time, but radical generosity goes beyond financial support. It includes our time, our skills, and other gifts. And as good stewards, we look at the different priorities because only God knows our capacity to be generous. Mary and Martha both gave what they could. And we are challenged today, we are encouraged today to do likewise. When we look around at St. George and Young, we know that our generosity looks something like this: our monthly gift card program, and our gratitude to those who not only contribute to that, but who are here on the first Tuesday of every month to distribute those gift cards. Support for the Don Valley Refugee Resettlers and the Anglican United Refugee Alliance. Donations to Faith Works, donations of grocery items, donations of clothing, and we can go on and on to talk about the generosity of the people of St. George and Young, and your generosity in all of the volunteer work that you do. And this is just to name a few. Yes, there's generosity here at St. George and Young. However, we are encouraged to be more generous in our prayers with and for others. And I say this respectfully, quite often we think of prayer as a last resort as opposed to being a first response. Yes, let us be more prayerful. Let us be more careful in spiritual support, in encouraging each other, and in walking beside each other, especially in times of need. And let us be more careful in welcoming those who are new among us. For when we serve others, we are showing gratitude for God's generosity. As I reflected on this gospel reading, I was reminded of this prayer, which is quite familiar to many, and I'm sure that many of you in the congregation today know this prayer. So if you do, I invite you to say it with me. And it's a prayer from St. Ignatius of Loyola. And it goes something like this: Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do your will. A prayer attributed to St. Ignatius of Loyola. So, my siblings in Christ, when we think about faithful stewardship, it is so easy to become focused on how we use our time, our money, our talents, and other gifts. However, we could overlook the fact that all that we have and all that we are belongs to God. Radical generosity is a position we take because of our faith, which enables us to be a source of strength and support especially to those who are hurting. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus goes out of his way to advocate for the poor, for the sick, and for the neglected. And so when Jesus said, "You always have the poor with you," he was not putting himself ahead of the poor or inviting us to neglect our neighbors in need. It is believed that Jesus is reminding us that there are different expressions of generosity and that there is no one way of answering God's call. For like Martha, we offer our hospitality. And like Mary, we choose to sit at the feet of Jesus. So let us be open to the ways in which God is calling us to serve. And as faithful followers of Christ, we should always be with the poor, because that is where we are called to be, as servants in the name of Jesus. The gospel for today reassures us that we can learn at the feet of Jesus. We can serve in his ministry. And when we do not measure up, as we are human, when we do not quite measure up, we can go to God in prayer to ask for his generous acceptance and hope. And my friends, to that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.